Welcome to another episode of the Meathead on the Mic podcast. This is the number one podcast for anyone on this planet, country, or nation who wants to get in the best physical shape for their next vacation. I'll be giving you actionable value to help you with mindset, training, and nutrition to help you transform your life. Disclaimer, I'm going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. Not because I want to be mean, but because I genuinely respect you. Also, I'm a meathead. So if you tune in and decide to give me the time out of your life that you know you'll never get back, the very least I can do for you is keep it a stack. Expect to be educated, motivated, and inspired. And get ready to laugh over some lighthearted banter. Now that that's out the way, let's chat with IFBB Pro Matt Butale. Get ready, meatheads. Time to dive in. Yo, what's up? What's happening? Welcome to another episode of the Meathead of the Mic podcast. This is the first episode of the new year. In February, we rocking and rolling. Today, we're going to be talking about water, hydration, things of that sort. All right. So if this is something that you want to learn about, if you want to learn about how to drink more water and how that benefits your fat loss, muscle building journey, then this is the episode that I encourage you listen to through and through. All right. So don't skip to any parts. I mean, of course, skip back if you didn't understand something, if you want to listen to it again. But guys, I really do want you to pay attention to this episode and give me your undivided attention, because contrary to most people's belief, drinking water itself won't essentially hydrate you. And it won't, just drinking water alone won't do as much as you think it actually might. All right. So with that said, with that out the way, we'll be breaking it down in today's episode. Okay. I'll be teaching you how to drink water to, number one, make your fat loss journey a lot more efficient in terms of like just easier, like whenever you're starving, what to do with that. Number two, the importance of water. I was talking about a client to this earlier today, the importance of water when it comes to growing muscle, building muscle, or in other words, biovolumizing. So again, using something to give your muscles more volume, more size, and internally more strength, right? So we're gonna be talking about that. And then the last thing is how to actually hydrate yourself so that when you do drink water, you get the benefits that I'm talking about. All right, so with that out the way, we'll be breaking it down. But what would a Meathead on the Mic episode be without the formal introduction, which I still have yet to do? All right, so just for old time's sake, we're gonna get right the fuck on into it. All right, so yo, what's good, meatheads? Hope you're having an amazing day, and welcome to another episode of the Meathead on the Mic podcast. God damn, it's been such a fucking while. I've been dying to say that. It's your returning champion, IFBB Pro Matt Butale, and today I'm coming at you with a topic. Today I'll be breaking down how water can dehydrate you, and also how water can be your best friend. Okay, so if that's something that you have no clue about, if you do not know how to leverage water to your benefit so that you can burn fat, so that you can grow muscle, and most importantly, keep your body functioning the way that it should be, this is the episode that I need you to pay attention to, all right? So don't forget to share this out to anybody that you know would take value from this type of information. Don't be an information hog. It's all free. Just share it out to somebody that asks you the question or that, you know, is interested in health and fitness. So let's break it down. No more wasting time. You've been told all of your life that not drinking enough water can dehydrate you. Can we at least agree on that? I know for a fact you have. I have. Okay. I have been told if you are not drinking enough water, you are doing yourself a disservice. And that's true. That part is true. That's not like a myth. That's not something we have to debunk here. If you don't drink enough water, you are likely going to get dehydrated. And once you're dehydrated, your body won't function the way that it's supposed to. You'll feel more tired. Your lips will get dry. You know, you'll struggle having energy throughout the day. And when I say not drink water, I'm speaking of water itself. Those other fluids don't count. Okay? If you're counting in your coffees, you're counting in your juices, you know, things that are high in calories. Again, it's not that they're high in calories. That's why it doesn't necessarily help you as a fluid. It does help you a little bit. But it's not all water, and even if it were all water, it could still fuck you over in terms of dehydrating you, and that we're going to break that down. It sounds confusing, but once you listen to this episode at the end, you'll be like, oh shit, that makes sense. Okay, so the first reason why when you drink coffee or you drink juices or anything processed really that isn't just water, and like why that doesn't dehydrate you, number one, is because of the lack of electrolytes. Guys, if you don't know what an electrolyte is, I'm going to explain to you as simple as I possibly can. So an electrolyte, I'll give you two for an example. Salt, you know, table salt, pink Himalayan salt, whatever salt, okay? And then you got potassium. And when I say potassium, I want you to think of like food potassium. Don't get into chemistry here. All right, think of food sources. All right, you've got avocado, you've got potatoes, you've got bananas. Granted, to get the amount of potassium that you would actually need to remain adequately adequately hydrated, you might have to supplement with, you know, a potassium supplement. But on top of that, again, you don't necessarily need these things unless when you do go to the doctor or whenever you do get checked up, you notice that there is either an imbalance or that you are lacking these electrolytes. Okay, how do they figure these things out? You can figure them out through a blood test, through your analysis. If you are in a country that allows it, download an app called DynaCare. They have services. I'm pretty sure it's only North America. But if you have it where you do, wherever you live, go partner up with a company that allows you to record your data from your check-ins with your doctor. And, you know, I have one for myself. It allows me to reflect what's in my blood in terms of my electrolytes, in terms of hormones, in terms of many other things, creatinine, so creatine levels. You know, you want to go to the doctor about every 3 to 4 months. And with that, you want to be able to record and collect the information, not because you have to play doctor with yourself, but just to know what's going on inside your body so that if you feel certain ways or you lack energy or whatever it is, you have a reference point. You can go into those records and say, hey, in this time period, within this 3-4 month time period, I noticed my iron is low. Maybe I should get more iron into my diet, so on and so forth, right? Or anything else. Maybe you learn you have a condition, or maybe you learn that you're pre-diabetic and that you have to do something in your diet in order to change the outcome of your health. Of course, a positive change is what we want. We always want a net positive. But getting back to it, even food allergies, you might not be reacting or responding to, when I say you responding, your body, you might not be able to digest and metabolize foods the same way as you did 10 years ago. Or maybe the food selection doesn't, your body doesn't respond the same way to the food selection. So what does that all mean? Well, it all means this: get data from your doctor. That's the point of this first segment here when we're talking about electrolytes, so that we know what you need. Okay, so get this information from your doctor. Once you have this information from your doctor, you'll be good. You'll know what to do if things are wrong, okay? Based off of whatever is alarming or whatever your doctor says, hey, you might want to check on this. Maybe you have low this or high that. Whatever it is, you can balance it out. But when it comes to electrolytes, guys, when we are talking about how to hydrate yourself, how to use water in your benefit, we want to take into account that you need electrolytes. And in order to figure out if you do need them, you can use one method, which is the way that I told you guys, go to the doctor, get all that stuff checked out, record all these things so that you keep trends of the patterns and things of that sort. But the other way you can do it, this is a lot more fucking primitive. This is actually kind of disgusting for most of the people that are listening to this that are not meatheads. It's actually tasting your sweat. Or for some of you guys that want to lean in a different direction, maybe it could be tasting your tears if you cry. Jokes aside, the whole point of this is to taste the water that your body's secreting. Of course, you don't want to be doing that with like actual excrement, like piss. Like, don't fucking drink your piss, right? But if you notice that when you salt or when you sweat or you cry, and that fluid, those, you know, the tears or the sweat droplets are salty, that's fairly a good sign, okay? No, I'm not asking you to lick your fucking arm mid-workout to see, oh, maybe I need some more salt here, whatever. And no, I'm not telling you to do that. What I am saying is just be aware of it. You know, lick your lips a little bit, taste your sweat, essentially. If your sweat tastes like nothing, if there is like, if you taste your sweat and it's like pretty much drinking water, you have no sodium in your body. Okay, a little to no sodium, and that's not good, no matter how much water you drink. Matter of fact, drinking loads of water in that state could kill you. And we're going to break down why this is important. Why, Matt, why is it important that I make sure I have sodium and potassium in my body while I'm drinking water and after I drink water? Well, the reason why is because that's actually what hydrates you. Okay, water itself doesn't hydrate you. If you drink, think of it this way. if you have all of these minerals and all of these nutrients in your body, just think of them all as maybe they're all like the same consistency or texture as sugar. Let's say that all of these minerals can dissolve, which they all can. All of these minerals can dissolve. If you had them all in a cup and you poured water into it, what would happen? Naturally, what happens is it dilutes. So even though you have the same amount of whatever it is, salt, potassium, the more water you introduce to that, the thinner that product gets, the more diluted, the less viscous, the less concentrated that those minerals are. And the less concentrated they are, the less effective. Okay? But let's get a layer deeper. Why is it even effective? How does it even work? Why sodium, potassium? Why not iron and fucking magnesium? Like, what's the deal here? Well, the deal with sodium or salt and potassium is that when they bind, again, we don't have to get too sciencey here for those of you that are new to the gym. When they do bind, they bind also with water. And it basically, think of it like you put water into a jail cell. Think of water as a person. You put water into a jail cell. And the lock, first of all, we'll say potassium is the bars and sodium is the lock. So that's what keeps that person named water imprisoned. Do you understand? So without the lock and without the bars, water, this person who's getting supposed to be arrested, can walk freely throughout the prison, maybe even escape. Okay? Through what form? Through sweat, through excrement like piss, through tears, right? However water escapes your body, it will. And not only that, once water goes inside this jail or this facility, it takes other things. It steals iron, it steals magnesium, it steals so on and so forth. What do I mean by that? Well, what I just explained earlier. When you introduce water to something, you are essentially diluting the rest of whatever else is there, unless you are also replacing it. Because water is like, it's very cyclical. What comes in is what goes out. But what comes in dilutes what's inside your body. And then once that's done, it's essentially once your body's filtered, you'll piss whatever excrement is there out. If not that, then your body will find ways to use the minerals, the micronutrients that you already have inside your body. And of course, the macronutrients and calories, so on and so forth, right? Water isn't responsible for everything, but for what water is responsible for, you need to pay attention. Okay, so what does this all look like? Why is water or why is sodium and potassium so important when it comes to hydration? Well, for what I just mentioned, if water is the prisoner, potassium is the jail cell, and sodium is the lock. You can't trap that water in there, aka get yourself truly hydrated, unless you have those key components. Do you understand? Are you following? If you understand this, just nod your head silently. So why is that important? Why do we need to trap the water into the body? Well, because if we don't trap it, it's going to escape. And it's escaping with something. So it's going to make us more depleted in other aspects. So how do we combat this? How do we make it so that not only do we trap the water into our body, trap the water into our muscles, which is a good thing, which is something we're going to talk about later on. Okay. How do I do these things? How do I use water to my benefit? The answer is right here. You replace and you replenish what you remove. Again, I'm going to repeat that. You replace or replenish what you remove. What does that mean? You are removing micronutrients, minerals, vitamins when you consume water and when you sweat. How? Well, when you consume water, you're diluting what's inside. And when you're expelling water, you're getting rid of the water with whatever it took. So you are constantly in a state of needing to hydrate yourself and also replenish your micronutrients so that you stay hydrated and so that water has the function or the ability to stay in your body to do the things that it's supposed to do. You following? Okay, so once you understand that, then you'll understand, okay, I've got to drink my water when I'm working out or if it's a really hot day and I'm sweating a lot because that water is leaving. But what you also have to keep into account, guys and girls, is that sodium that you took, that you have, the salt, the potassium, the iron, the magnesium, all of those micronutrients are also leaving your body when you sweat, when you cry, when you take a piss. Okay? So I want you to understand this, guys. And the reason why I want you to understand it is because once you like completely understand where your micronutrients are going, what water is doing, then it will be impossible for you to dehydrate yourself with water. I know that sounds like ironic or oxymoronic to say water can dehydrate you, but it actually can. It actually can. And I think it's called hypertension. It's in relation to, again, whoever's listening to this can go online and Google the actual definition. I don't have it on hand. But hypertension, okay? If you are not replacing your sodium and you are drinking water and you are sweating, it could kill you. And if you want to talk a little bit more about that, we can do that another day. But the word that I want you to Google, hypertension, HYPERTENSION, hypertension. I want you to Google that if you've got any questions about drinking too much water and potentially dying or being over slash underhydrated in that sense, right? So you can definitely look into that if you don't, if you want to, pick a little bit more at what I'm saying here and the importance of this subject. But to bring it back to the surface here, guys, as I said, my intention at the start of this episode is to not only show you or tell you how drinking a lot of water can dehydrate you and how to not do that, but also how to leverage water to building muscle, aka actually making the size of your muscles bigger, which it can do, and also how to burn fat or make your dieting process a little bit easier with water. Okay, so we'll start off with number one, since I know most of you guys here are like fucking meatheads. How do you make water make your muscles bigger? How do you use muscle to enlarge the size of whatever muscle it is? You want bigger arms? You got them. Bigger chest? Got them. Bigger shoulders? Got them. How? With water. How do you do that? It's very simple. Once you understand the whole shuttling process, again, you don't even have to understand the whole shuttling process. You can just listen to what I said about water being the person or the prisoner, the jail cell being potassium, and sodium being the lock that locks that water in there. Okay? Once you get that and you know how to actually hydrate yourself and you are able to gauge it either with data from a doctor or the old I'ma taste my sweat trick, right? Well, however you determine that you are in need of those specific micronutrients being potassium and sodium, you're good. That's the first thing there. The second thing I want you to do is focus on drinking at least 2 to 3 liters of water per day. Of course, it does depend on who you are, how big you are, how small you are, what you do for a living, the weather, the climate of where you're living. All those variables do matter, but 2 to 3 liters a day won't hurt you. And even if you're low on sodium, it won't kill you. Okay? I just want to let you know that there. But how do we make muscles grow with water? How do we actually make them bigger? Well, it's a little word that I use at the start of this episode. And that word is, guys, that word is biovolumization. Okay, biovolumization. I'm sure that most of you listening to this can pretty much decipher what that word means. So, bio, think of biology, think of your body, the way that organisms work. And then volumization. So, volume. What do we do with volume? We turn it up, we turn it down. Right? Why? Because we want something louder or quieter. The same thing that goes on with your muscle, more or less. Right? Louder or quieter. So, biovolumization. What does it mean altogether? The ability to turn up or turn down the biomass on your body, at least in this specific context, when I'm trying to explain this. So, biovolumization is the ability to manipulate your body for volume, right? Your biology, not necessarily down to the molecular or your DNA, nothing with your DNA will change. But when it comes to making your muscles bigger, you can do that. And here's a little tip or a little trick. I guess it's a secret, but really not so much so. If you understand why people take this thing that helps with water. And this thing, guys, this little thing you can do, I'll warn you, it's not a steroid. It's definitely natural. Your body actually produces up to 2 grams of it per day, but you can take it exogenously to capitalize on that and build more muscle, increase your ATP, which just means the amount of reps you can do. And this thing, guys, is creatine. Specifically, creatine monohydrate. Okay, not because it's the best, but it's because it's the most researched. Typically, is the cheapest. You can get it again in the largest amount of quantities for a fair enough price, enough for you to be taking 5 to 10 grams, depending on your genetics or your physique, consistently every single day. And guys, no, you don't need to load it. There's millions of guys that will tell you out there that you do need to, and millions that will tell you that you don't. And I'm one of the millions that will tell you that you don't. And the reason why is because A, your body already produces creatine, and B, just put it this way, guys. If I were selling something, like these supplement companies are, I would want you to take as much of it as possible so that I can get you to buy as much of it as possible. Scientifically, there's little to no evidence that shows that loading creatine is gonna fucking be better for you than if you didn't load it. So it's just not worth the extra money. And you can just be smarter about it, because it does matter. What does matter is keeping your muscles saturated, aka just having creatine in your system. So it doesn't matter how much extra you have at the start, that will boost you up to this maintenance level. Sure, you can reach max saturation faster, but you're just in the end looking for saturation. So you can take your sweet time with that. It won't hinder your gains, anything of that sort. So guys, how does creatine actually biovolumize? How does creatine give you more size, bigger muscles, more strength? And how can you use water to leverage that, to make it so that you get more muscle, so that you get more size and more strength? Very, very, very simple, guys. Think of the same analogy that we just brought up earlier on in this episode, of the prisoner being the water, okay, is in the cell that is made of potassium that the lock, which is made out of salt, locks inside. So all I want you to do with this little analogy, guys, is to picture the water getting a cellmate. Okay, so water gets a cellmate. Who's his cellmate? That motherfucker is creatine. Okay, so creatine is now cooped up in the same cell with water and sodium oxidant. No, I'm not saying that sodium potassium directly correlate to having an effect on the amount of creatine that you have in your body and so on and so forth. No, I'm not saying that. I'm only using this, I'm trying to oversimplify the idea of how creatine works. It's shuttled into the muscle. Okay? The same way water is shuttled into your muscles, your bones, your joints, your organs, right? So water goes everywhere as well as those micronutrients and also creatine as well, right? But in this specific, what I want you to understand is that the main purpose of the creatine, at least in this context, is getting creatine into your blood and into your muscle. Why? Because creatine, specifically creatine monohydrate, again, all creatine works this way. I want to emphasize the word monohydrate. When creatine monohydrate goes into the muscle and you are drinking water, think of it, guys. Maybe you may not have been that good in chemistry, and I wasn't really either, so I'll cut you some slack. But what does it mean? Monohydrate. Mono is Latin for one, right? Think of mono stereo. Stereo is more than one. If you're talking about speakers, right? You got two or more. Mono is one. So one and then hydrate. Of course, that means water, hydration, right? Hydrated. One hydration or one hydrate, one water, monohydrate, right? That's what it means. What does that necessarily reflect to? It reflects to the binding of water, right? So creatine and water are cellmates in this prison that, again, when you're hydrated, works. When you're not hydrated, you have no jail cell and you have no key. So nothing's working. The water is running out. There's no cellmate. There's no cell. Okay, but when you have water bunked up with creatine monohydrate, you get the effect. It'll bind to the water, and wherever the water goes, so will the creatine. So now the water is going into the muscle. We call this intramuscular biovolumization. I know it sounds long, but it's very simple. All it means is that inside the muscle, intramuscular, there is biovolumization, meaning inside the muscle, biologically, something is being volumized. There is more volume. Something is turning up. We're turning up the heat. We're turning up the volume. And how do we get this effect? Two things. We introduce creatine, 5 to 10 grams a day, depending on your genetics and your ability to respond to creatine. You are working out, meaning that you are pumping blood into the muscles and you're challenging yourself. You're lifting challenging weights, you're doing challenging reps, so you're tearing up the muscle fibers and also pumping it up with blood. And on top of that, you have an adequate diet that is going to help you build on the protein or build on the muscle that you're ripping up that you need to repair. So think of ripping up the muscles as demolition. If you guys know, you know, think of renovating a house. You just demolish it, right? You break it down. And protein is the new product that you get when you bring back to your house and you're building up everything. So you demolish it all and you have more space and this bigger, beautiful canvas, and you start putting all your beautiful cabinets and your countertop and your new sink, your new tiles on the ground. So That's the upgraded version. And how do we get the upgrades? Upgrades come through the protein. Think of if you guys are into gaming, if you guys are into gaming, the progress, okay, the progress as the game, you go along the game, you make get more achievements and you beat the game and you increase ranks. That's one thing. But to save the data, right, so that when you log off and you log back in, you have the same data. That's what the protein does. Protein is the save button. Protein is the memory card. It's however the hard disk, the hard drive. For some of you old folks, the flash drive. If you remember that, you're way too fucking old. But guys, that's my point here. Protein will save the progress that you make in the gym, but all the other things like your diet, okay, especially even carbohydrates, which is responsible for blowing up the muscle. And again, carbohydrate, carb being sugar, hydrate being water, you have that same effect when it converts into glycogen. Because carbs will convert to glycogen, which is muscle and fuel, which is what you really want, glycogen. You want that. Or it's going to convert to fat. Both glycogen and fat are energy sources, but one is like an energy, one is like a generator. Like fat is a generator, it's backup, it's reserves. You're not primarily using that. And then glycogen is you're primarily using that. It goes into the muscle. That's what you're using primarily. It's the faster acting. It's the gas that's ready as opposed to the battery in the basement, that generator. You feel me? So again, I know we went off on a tangent, but I just really wanted you to understand how it all works. So tying it all back in, how does creatine and water benefit you? Well, again, let's walk back through it. You drink your water and you have your electrolytes in your system, your potassium and your salt. Which, again, if you guys didn't know, is the reason why Gatorade and Powerade actually hydrate you. It's not because it's this magical blue red fluid, it's because it's got sodium and potassium in it. And if you don't believe me, read the ingredients in the back. You'll see that they're of the most concentrated ingredients in that drink so that it actually hydrates you. That's number one. Okay, so you're actually hydrated and the water is staying where it's supposed to stay, locked up with that potassium and sodium so that it does its thing and it penetrates all of your organs. Okay? The next thing is you introduce creatine, of course, with or on the side of a healthy diet and training excessive, not excessively, but actually fucking training hard. Not just going to the gym and exercising, but fucking training, okay? Like you are trying to build muscle here desperately, right? Doesn't mean you're overtraining or trying to kill yourself or get injured, but you're definitely not taking a walk in the park and you are doing your cardio. You throw creatine in there. And with the water, because now you're adequately hydrated, the water is going to stay in its place and you can leverage it to, again, shuttle the creatine into your muscle and get that bio-volumizing or bigger muscle effect. Once you can do that, and you do that consistently, you'll notice that you are technically using water to not only keep you hydrated correctly, but to grow your muscles. It grows the size of your muscles. And guys, this applies to every single muscle group. And this is why when you take creatine, you get bigger. People don't know, like, oh, I just took creatine, I got bigger and stronger. Well, how? It's because water. Creatine does not work if you don't drink water. And why? Well, because as I explained, monohydrate. Creatine, monohydrate. That's what it's called, right? Mono being one, hydrate being water. One water, it binds to the water. Okay, creatine binds to water molecules. And if you don't have enough water molecules, or if you are inadequately hydrated, and your body's expelling a lot more water than it needs to be because you can't hold it into your body because you don't have enough electrolytes, then creatine won't do shit for you. Or you'll have very minimal results. And some people that take creatine and swear up and down that their body's just not responding, most of those people are not even adequately hydrated. And I'm not saying they don't drink 2 to 3 liters of water a day. They probably do, if not that more, which is worse because they already aren't replacing their electrolytes and then they're drinking even more than enough. So then you just can't replace it. What would I recommend to somebody that wants to replace their electrolytes? How do you actually just replace them? Like, is it, do I just take a, like, what do I do? What's the method? Well, the method, guys, is to salt. There's two methods. One is more convenient, but less tolerable. Okay. And I do both. All right. And this works is you need to implement this if you train a lot or if you sweat a lot at your job. Okay. The number one thing is you want to salt your meals lightly. You want to make sure you can actually taste the salt in your meals. Not to a point where your face is puckered up because it's so damn salty, but you want to salt your meals lightly. On top of that, if you're an extreme, like if you sweat like a fuck ton and you notice in your sweat you haven't tasted salt, in a minute, and or every gym visit you go to, you notice that you taste the sweat at the start, it's there, you taste the sweat at the end, and there's no salt, well, then you probably get let loose a lot of sodium or more sodium than the average person. And in that case, I'm not recommending it to you, but I'm telling you it works for me. I am that type of person. Pre-workout, I'll take a teaspoon, and I measure it. So I won't even say a teaspoon. I measure it to be real with you. I take 4 grams of salt in my off season. When I'm, of course, closer to the show, I will be taking a little bit more because I'm more depleted and I'm doing the whole water loading thingy or water reducing, so it won't have the same effect. But bare minimum, this works for me. Maybe you guys want to cut it in half. 2 to 4 grams of sodium. Just take it down the hatch, pour it down, you know, at the back of your throat, and then chug water. The reason why I do this instead of mixing it with water is because, number one, it just tastes like I'm drinking a bucket of tears, and that's just fucking disgusting. I'd rather get the taste out the way, skip my taste buds, get the water down, and let sodium do what it's supposed to do. Okay, and as far as potassium goes, I have these potassium iodine drops. I take 1 milliliter of that with what I'm taking, the 2 to 4 grams of salt, and then wash it all down with a liter of water altogether. Essentially, that keeps me hydrated, and I notice that at the end of my sessions, when I do taste my sweat, it's still there. You want to make sure you have a little bit of saltiness in your sweat, okay? And the reason why, as I said earlier on, is because that'll actually let you know that you are hydrated, okay? Of course, it isn't gospel. It's not like, you know, if you taste salt in your sweat, there's no way you could ever be dehydrated, but it's just less likely. Again, it depends on your health, which is why I always recommend to my clients, and I'm recommending to you, even though you're not my freaking client, go to the doctor 3-4 times a year, quarterly at best, okay? And get your check-in reports. You can get them digitally now in your phone. I do it with DynaCare, okay? So you can definitely do these things, right? And when you do these things, you'll have this information so that you can never fall off. Okay, so we talked about it. We talked about how to get hydrated with water, right? We talked about how to actually grow the size of your muscle with water and like the basics or the intro and the mechanics to that. So what's the last thing we're going to talk about here, guys? We are going to talk about how you can use water to make your fat loss easier. Okay, and no, we're not just talking about in relation to you building muscle, because that also does count. Of course, the more muscle you build, the higher your metabolism will be, making it just that much more easy to not only burn fat but keep it off. But we're really going to talk about a true hack here, and this is something that you guys might be doing already, and you don't know that you're doing it, or you are doing this because you know how effective it is. And this is something that all my clients at some point in time end up experiencing, because you just start eating less and less. And until your body's used to it, this is something that you got to pull out of your back pocket to help you out. So that thing is, guys, is using water to curb your appetite. Okay. And this is something I use even when I'm cutting. Using water to curb your appetite. So what is this? Well, essentially, guys, how many of you have been so fucking hungry in your fitness journey, you know, while you're on a calorie deficit? Or maybe you're not really that hungry, and some days you're starving, you can eat a horse, and some days you're like, whatever. How many of you guys, if that's ever been you, just nod your head silently and be like, yo, I remember when I was dieting and shit got fucking tough. All right, because what I did, or what I do, and what my best clients do, when we get into that point, say we finished all of our meals for the day, all of our prescribed meals for the day, we can't eat more, or we're going to bleed into our calorie deficit. And of course, I'm talking about someone that's just being a little bit more strict and doesn't want to do the whole tally up 7 days and then the average calories of, you know, you could definitely do that and have some days where you're dieting really, really hard, then like on your weekends you're chilling, but again, it's pretty hard 5 days of the week to deal with that. So it's better to just be a little bit more balanced and train your discipline instead of your letting your urges win. But guys, when you are fucking hungry, this is the hack, when you are starving and you don't want to eat more calories than you're supposed to eat in order to continue seeing the progress that you've been seeing, you want to drink water. That's what you want to do. Preferably not lukewarm, but not ice cold. I prefer drinking something more on the warm side, but still cold, right? And what this is going to do is it's going to fill up your stomach, first of all. And if you were to eat with a stomach that full of fluids, you'd feel nauseous, Regardless, warmer fluids, even teas, guys. Teas are crucial for this. If you don't really want to drink tea, you can just drink a lot of water, right? But again, keeping in mind that you do have to make sure that you're not like overkilling it so that you don't end up dehydrating yourself and you don't end up diluting the amount of sodium and potassium that you've got or other minerals that you've got in your body because of the large amount of water that you'll be consuming. Okay, guys, but I really do want you to understand, you can use water to leverage your hunger. If you've eaten all that you need to eat in your nutrition protocol for the day and there's no more calories left and you are starving, I'm telling you guys, I do it myself as a pro bodybuilder. My best clients do it. Drink fucking water, then go to sleep. And if not water, do tea with some natural sweeteners. Yes, there are going to be some extra calories in that, but does it matter? No, because it's not going to be enough to actually set you off of, you know, the progress that you've been accumulating. Okay, guys, so just to wrap it up, just to give you guys the walkthrough of today's episode. Number one, we talked about how to actually hydrate yourself using the analogy of water being the prisoner, potassium being the prison gates or the prison bars, and then sodium, of course, being the lock. We also talked about how to make your muscles larger with water, and that involved using creatine while you are adequately hydrated. So once you apply step one, you can apply step two. And number three, we talked about, as we just finished up right now, how to use water to curb your appetite so that you can continue seeing progress in your fat loss journey. Those are the three most important things that I think about when I think of water and the average person that wants to lose 20 to 30 pounds. Like, if you understood those three things, you'd really understand how important it is to stay on top of your water. And guys, I've had like a lot of clients come up to me when they first start, they're so sharp with their nutrition. Like they, oh my God, they don't miss their calories. They hit the gym. They do their cardio down to the fucking minute. They do their sauna or whatever I have prescribed for them. But when it comes down to water, it's, oh, I missed out on 2 liters here or 1 liter here. Or, you know, I just fucking had a water bottle today and the rest of it was like espressos and shit. Guys, that's killing your progress. Without being adequately hydrated, it's no shit your metabolism isn't going to work properly. Your bowels aren't working. You need water for that. It's no shit you're always tired because you're dehydrated. It's no shit you got black circles around your eyes. You have deficiencies out the ass. Okay, so before I even tell you to drink water, and before I even tell you to check your potassium or to get sodium and potassium in, I'm going to tell you to check yourself. Go to the doctor and make sure that, like, what do you know about your insides that's actually happening? Like, where's your proof? Like, what records do you have access to that show you what your insides are like, how they are performing, so that you can leverage food types, the pharmacy, going to get supplements or whatever have you, micronutrients, minerals, doing whatever you can so, you know, you can actually change the state of your body. Like, get that information. I swear to God, it's going to help you, and continue to get that information. Don't just like get it once and then like, okay, no, make sure that you get that information. You do shit to fix whatever's broken, and then you continue repeating that process because shit is going to break in the future. And if you care about your body, like you care about your car, you get your fucking human oil change is what I call it. Okay, so that's what that is. All right, I don't want to ramble on this episode for too long. Again, guys, I did have a script here today, but I completely ditched the script just to talk to you guys about this off heart with these analogies, because I don't really give analogies, and I decided, hey, you know, it might help you guys a little bit more if I just, you know, speak more off the cuff. But again, guys, I don't want to make this too long of an episode, but there are some things that I do want to cover that I hadn't covered earlier on. But if you did get those 3 points, you're free to leave the episode. All right. That's all I wanted from you. But if you want more information, if you want more value, then stick around. Okay. I'm going to just bring out some key principle concepts here when it comes to water. All right. Number one, consuming too much of it in a short period of time can lead to a condition known as water intoxication. So that thing that I was talking about when I said hypertension, I think that one is too much salt. Okay, when you have too much salt, you like it's hypertension, then that kills you. But what I really wanted to talk about was hyponatremia. Hyponatremia. So I'm going to spell it out for you guys that want to Google it. H-Y-P-O-N-A-E or N-A-T-R-E-M-I-A. So again, H-Y-P-O-N-A-T-R-E-M-I-A. So hyponatremia. And what is this? Hyponatremia essentially is a condition where sodium levels in your blood are lower than normal. So if you experience hyponatremia, it doesn't mean you're gonna fucking die. No, it doesn't, okay? But it does mean that you should be on the lookout for the amount of sodium that you do have in your body, because that's going to dictate your ability to remain hydrated, okay? Serious hyponatremia can cause seizures, a coma, and even death, all right? But talk to your doctor about this. I'm no fucking doctor. I'm just telling you what doctors would tell you. And when you do talk to your doctor, let me know if they said something similar, okay? Now, this happens when there is a balance of electrolytes in your body, specifically sodium, duh. We lack sodium, and it's disrupted due to either having too much water or just like not having enough salt, which we just talked about. All right. And if you did forget, this applies to every mineral and micronutrient, which is like the dilution of electrolytes, diluting shit. Like, how many of you guys have had that super sweet Kool-Aid when you were a kid with a fuck ton of sugar? The more water you added to it, the shittier it tasted. Why? Well, that's because the sugar diluted. The more water you add to it, the less sweet it gets. The same thing. The more water you add to it, the less salty or sodium-y it gets. So when you drink an excessive amount of water, it can dilute the concentration of the electrolytes, especially sodium, in your blood. Which means the more water that you drink without replenishing your electrolytes, aka sodium and potassium, the closer to hyponatremia you get. So again, what are electrolytes? They're the essential minerals like sodium, potassium, calcium, so on. All these essential minerals. But what I do need you to really pay an emphasis on, guys, is the sodium and potassium. The sodium imbalance, again, guys, sodium is so fucking crucial. It's so important, all right, as an electrolyte. It helps regulate the balance of fluids around the cells, all right? So when you have less sodium, you have essentially a fluid imbalance, as we just mentioned. And when the concentration of sodium in your blood becomes too low, it can lead to an imbalance of fluids, right? To avoid water intoxication or risks, or risking yourself, to avoid the risk of hypernatremia, it's recommended to drink water in moderation and pay attention to your body's goals. And again, moderation is, it's subject. Like, what does moderation mean? Well, the same amount of water I can drink isn't the same amount of water that you can drink, given our energy expenditures are completely different. I sweat differently than you do. My body retains water differently than yours does. And so everything's going to be subjective there. But moderation is moderation. And you know when something's too much or when something's too little for yourself. So really do keep that into account. Even when you were replacing your electrolytes, you don't want to fucking take 10 tablespoons of salt, because that's hypertension right there, the opposite of hyponatremia, right? And so how do we avoid this? All right. How do we avoid it? It's very simple. The same way that I said, water in moderation, you want to salt your shit in moderation, man. You want to salt your meals in moderation. That whole trick that I said earlier on about pre-workout getting salt down the hatch, that's not going to work for most people. All right. Unless you are already jacked or you are an athlete and you are sweating a fuck ton already, it's not something I'd recommend. Also, it will make you shit yourself, because having large amounts of sodium in a really small time window, I mean, for those of you that have done it, you know what I'm talking about. The same thing goes for magnesium. Yeah, definitely it's magnesium. I learned the hard way. So guys, you don't want to be going crazy with these micronutrients and supplements off rip, because they will rip your asshole if you're not aware. All right, just be careful. All right, everything in moderation. All right, and guys, thirst is definitely a cool little hack. Like, when we're thirsty, it's amazing. It lets us know that we need water, right? And if you are in the gym, and you notice that, or any situation actually, where you notice you lost a lot of water, it's fucking important. Or like if you go to the sauna, you know that you sweat a shit ton. It's important that you just drink your water and make sure that you are, you know, you have something salted afterwards or beforehand. Don't, whenever you think of water, always think of electrolytes. That's what I want to, for you guys to understand here. I know it sounds like I'm over explaining the same thing over and over, but I mean, you won't understand it unless I drilled it into your head. And what I do, drill it into your head. Okay, so it's essential to balance the water intake with electrolyte consumption, such as, you know, sports drinks or foods rich in electrolytes while you drink water, before or after even, right? And guys, I'm going to wrap this up with this. Always consult with your healthcare professional or personalized advice, especially if you have concerns about your fluid intake or your health. Like, if you have, like, legit issues, I don't want to call them issues, or if you have, like, legit health concerns, or maybe you're pre-diabetic, maybe you have something, a thyroid issue, and you just listen to that this episode and you're like, fuck, this makes sense. I'm gonna do what the hell he just said right now. Chill out, take a breather, all right, and apply step number one of this episode, which is go to the fucking doctor, talk to your doctor, get a general checkup that you can record information from. Either you get your paper copies or you get the digital copies like your boy, and then move forward with that information. The information that is what? Provided by your doctor, and then the information that is provided by your test results. Okay? So we are approaching a almost 45-minute episode today. And this is the first episode of 2024, so of course this feels super fulfilling to have delivered to you guys. I hope that y'all listen to this episode over and over, unpack it in a million different ways, and learn a little bit more about water hydration so that you can benefit your physique and expedite your fat loss journey. All right? That's it. That's all. If you like this episode, share it out with a friend. Don't forget to like, share, comment on this podcast. Leave a review to show your support. It really does go a long way. And guys, I want to let you know, I wouldn't be able to do this without you. And if you weren't listening, I don't know who would be. Oh my God, it's felt so long. It's been so long. I really feel good saying that, guys. I don't know if you guys are watching this on the camera. You can see your boy smiling because I fucking missed doing this. All right. Hope I was able to deliver a valuable experience to you guys and girls today. Thank you so much for your precious time and attention. That's it, guys. Let's embrace our inner meathead together. It's been nice chatting. Hope you like what today's topic was about. IFBB Pro Matt Butale signing out. Boom. Thank you so much for your precious time and attention. This is the number one podcast for anyone on this planet, country, or nation who wants to get in the best physical shape for their next vacation. Don't forget to implement at least one thing from this podcast. Remember, information without implementation is just fucking noise. I provide actionable value for a reason. Take full advantage of it. If you laughed, cried, got any value, motivation, or inspiration from this podcast, share it out to one friend who you know will enjoy it too. Shameless plug, subscribe to my YouTube channel, Matt Butale, if you want to know this meathead on a more personal level. Heads up, it's not safe for work, and it can get explicit. Viewer's discretion is advised. But I promise you will still laugh, learn, and get value. Also, if you want to lose 25 pounds and become a part of the Natural Nomad Academy and join the meathead community, feel free to DM me and I'll see if you'll be a good fit. Let's embrace your inner meathead. All right, it's been nice chatting. Hope you like what today's topic was about. Natural Nomad Academy head coach and natural IFBB Pro Matt Butale signing out.